CliffCentral.com.
Yes, I could be Hillary Duff. you don't think if I put on the right wig, I could be like Hillary Duff?
Maybe if we squint.
Maybe if somebody claws our eyeballs out of our sockets.
Oh, thanks very much.
It's a bit of an annoying song.
Yeah, it is. Well, I'm sorry.
I think we should go back to people suggesting songs again.
All right.
Theme days.
Says the Kylie Minogue person. Yeah. But okay.
It was Australia Day.
Okay, fine. Australia Day. Inverted commas.
Try and give it a culture.
Listen.
It happens.
Listen. Everybody calm down. It's a Thursday morning. We got some Piwadana coming in later on. She's very fiery on social media. We got a lot to talk to her about. Very successful career. Very well-known singer. And people call her the new Miriam Makeba.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm very pleased to be meeting her for the first time. I've got a magazine on the table in my TV room. A Rolling Stone magazine with her on the cover.
Ooh.
Looking very glamorous. Yeah, I've been looking at that for the last 3 months, so I'll recognize her when she comes in, you know?
Oh.
All right, let's get into this. There's a whole lot of news that's worth catching up on. Mubs, where do we begin?
Well, let's begin with Sona Gareth. And word on the street is that the president is expected to deliver his toughest speech yet.
Ooh.
Oh, has it got numbers in it?
President Jacob Zuma is expected to deliver his toughest State of the Nation amid threats of interruptions from the Red Berets,
boy.
A.K.A. EFF.
Oh boy, I wouldn't want to be the president right now.
Tonight he will be facing members of parliament who have been calling for him to be impeached if the Constitutional Court finds he has breached his oath of office in relation to the Nkandla saga.
The 14th of August 1994. I thank you. 2014, sorry. 2014. Sorry, Honorable Speaker. 2014.
Okay.
It's not 250. What government has done, I think I don't have the figure, it could be between 700 or 800. I mean, 780 million rand.
All right.
South Africa's fragile economy, the country's higher education funding problems, and the prevailing drought are some of the pressing issues the president is under pressure to address when he takes to the podium. And a lot of people are saying that the president is a politically weakened man.
There's going to be a lot of that. Because whenever he's nervous, he does that quite a lot.
But do you think that the president will be nervous tonight? Because remember we said that he's a psychopath and he actually doesn't care. Like, he just doesn't care. No, man, don't do this to me. There was that one article that you shared with us the one time about what makes a person a psychopath.
And the
article was trying to allude to the fact that our president has psychopathic tendencies.
Look, he's got to realize at some point that he's politically compromised. You know, there are a couple of things that have happened since November last year that have considerably weakened his position. He's got to feel that. He's too smart to not, and I mean smart as in, this guy is a political survivalist. He's like the Bear Grylls of politics. He can smell a sea change. He can smell when he's vulnerable. He can see the wolves coming up behind him. He knows. How do you think he got to be president? You don't get there by stepping on turds. He knows what he's doing.
Yesterday I was in the shops and I was just looking at the headlines and this woman was reading this newspaper and I wasn't like that creepy guy. It was a small space. I was just looking at it a bit over her shoulder. So she looks at me and I don't really acknowledge because I'm just looking at the newspaper.
Well, it's your big head in the way. She can't even read the newspaper anymore.
And then she says, sorry, do you know what sycophant means?
Oh,
and she was pointing to a word in the Jacob Zuma article.
So did you explain to her?
Yeah.
What did you say the definition was?
Well, I said it's someone who basically looks to kind of create personal gain through treating others like crap and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
taking advantage of situations and people, mm-mm, even when they are really important.
No. A sycophant's just someone who, it's like your minion, it's like your slave, someone who bows down to your every will, whim, and desire. So you've misinformed her, Ben. Now she's going to go around telling other people what you think sycophant is, and you gave her a poor definition.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. See? You should have phoned me, Ben.
Gareth, I've got to stand up for myself in life.
Yeah, but you didn't stand up for yourself. You gave the woman wrong information.
Wait. Now, this is my word of the day. How do you spell it?
S-Y-C-O-P-H-A-N-T.
S-Y-P-O?
No. S-Y-C.
C.
O.
Ah, okay.
P-H-A-N-T.
A person who acts obsequiously?
Obsequiously.
Oh, my goodness. Now I have to Google that, too.
Now you have to Google that one.
I can see CS going to have a chain of Googling to be...
towards someone important in order to gain advantage.
Million.
Right. Obsequiously.
Obsequiously.
Well, lady at shop, I do apologize.
Yeah, well, obedient or attentive to an excessive degree. Obsequious.
Uh-huh.
Let's try and use that today.
Yeah, if someone is very obedient, then you just say, how obsequious of you.
So he's a sycophant to the Guptas, then.
He's a Gupta sycophant, and he has lots of sycophants in his cabinet.
Right. So a lot of sycophantry happening around
him. Absolutely. Good use of the word.
Isn't that just called networking?
No.
You've got to have contacts. Networking, they keep saying.
Networking is preferably when you're on the same level as someone. You know, hi, Sia, I'm Gareth. Hi, Gareth, I'm Sia. Uh-huh. Not your majesty.
So would Ryan Seacrest be a celebrity sycophant, or would the celebrities be the sycophants of Ryan Seacrest?
Well, the Kardashians are sycophantic toward him.
Ah.
But he is a sycophant to his owners on American Idol.
Does anyone know the speech writing process for the president? Does he write it himself? Does he read it after somebody else has written it?
Well, the presidency's a big office. There are probably two or three speechwriters who are employed full-time to write his speeches. Then it will probably be checked by the director general in the presidency, or his private secretary, or by his press secretary, or by the ANC spokesperson. It could be anybody at this point. We don't know, but there are going to be a lot of people this speech passes through before it gets to him. Then he will make changes.
So there's no reason why he should get anything wrong during the speech. Numbers, words, anything.
As I've said 1,000,000,000 times,
no.
The president's speechwriter's got to write the words 155, like you used to on an old check.
Yes.
You'd have to write 1,350 rands and 22 cents. And they must write it out like that. If you give him a bunch of numbers, he's going to fuck it up. Don't do that to the guy.
And let's be honest. I mean, I sometimes mess up big numbers. Because, you know, you look at the number, you're like, hang on, let me just count the decimal points here again.
Right.
Just write it out.
Are we playing the game this year?
The drinking game?
Yeah.
I don't want to get drunk. I've been really good throughout January and most of Feb.
Ooh, I'm coming back. Justice is phoning.
Very important.
Very important.
Let's take Justice's call. All right, Mubs, what else is going on?
Do you remember when Tim Noakes advised a mother on Twitter to wean her child onto a low-carbohydrate diet?
Ooh, I heard about this.
Yes.
I heard what happened yesterday.
Okay, tell me.
No. You tell me.
All right. So he's been facing the Health Professions Council this week because his conduct is being questioned.
Right, and he broke down.
It was a rough day for Professor Noakes yesterday because, yes, Gareth, he broke down in tears. He said, if I had known what the consequences were of this hearing, I would have done anything in my power to stop this from happening because of the cost to me personally and to my family. Rough day. he never imagined he would face a misconduct inquiry, and he had thought that the complaint that sparked was just a storm in a teacup at the time. Because remember, people got outraged.
All right, as much as we care about Tim Noakes, we're going to have to go to...
It's fine. It's fine.
I have to go to justice.
It's fine.
He's a very busy man. He's just landed in Cape Town. Let's just get a quick snapshot of what's going on, because Justice Malala is on the line, and we'll come back to Tim Noakes in a second. I mean, if Banting, you know, we, that can wait. Good morning, Justice Malala. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I would rather talk Banting myself.
Would you?
Well, you know, the thing about South African politics is that things change so fast and so many times that one might want to just stay with Tim Noakes and Banting rather than that.
But
all these flip-flopping, the president doesn't want to pay, no, it's not that, and then, oh, the president wants to pay, I want to pay.
So, Justice, you're in Cape Town for the State of the Nation address, right?
I'm not in Cape Town, actually. I'm making my way there later today. I'm in Bloemfontein, so I'm hopping my way towards Cape Town.
What, did you think you'd pop in and visit the Supreme Court of Appeal?
Yes, just to get an idea of what exactly and how exactly the President of the Republic could not have foreseen that he was bound by the decisions of the public protector. And I just find it amazing. I mean, if we touch on it, look at the number of people who have made absolute fools of themselves trying to stop the implementation of the public protector's recommendations on Uganda. You think about Tula Simwesi and the press conferences that he held, the insults that were thrown, the sheer disrespect for the public protector's office. Let me think about Natin Kleko. You know, that whole thing in that press conference with music and all sorts of things. So then you think about Parliament itself, two committees, Matola Motega, treating the public protector with contempt, Cedric Follick, who headed one of those committees. Where are these people now? And what do they say when the man that they've been protecting all along turns around and says, oops, those fools who protected me all along are now absolutely wrong. I want to pay. And I'm dumping them, basically.
Yeah, he's throwing them under the bus. I mean, this must be... This is the action of a desperate man, right?
He is a desperate man. And if you listen to the court hearing, I think it's clear why he is so desperate. And it's because the EFF and the DA in those court papers are insisting that the Constitutional Court must make a declaratory order that Jacob Zuma was in breach of the Constitution and didn't uphold his oath of office that he protect the Constitution. If he does that, if the court makes that order, then it means that Jacob Zuma, who took an oath that I will uphold this constitution, acted against it, and he's wide open for impeachment. And that is what he's trying to avoid. And I think he's trying to avoid that because he's worried that if it comes to a vote in the National Assembly, one or two or three members of the ANC, when it comes down to voting, will not vote for him, and might be with the 22% that is commanded by the DA, plus the 6% are commanded by the EFF, and then you have all the other opposition parties. They have 38%. If you have some of those ANC people voting with them, and even if they don't get a two-thirds majority, 69%. They will definitely get, when the votes are counted, it will be, more than 50 people said, get rid of this man. And it will be very embarrassing to know that among those people is President Zuma's own ANC member. So this is what he's trying to avoid, the fact that he is now weakened substantially in the party and in parliament. I mean, think about it. If Paul Mashatile was still an MP, after everything he said on Uganda, would he vote that President Zuma remain in office? And how many others would be around to say, my vote is my secret on this one, so I'll go with this. I'll go with impeachment. So President Zuma is scared. He's scared. He doesn't want it to get to that. And that's why he's done this big, big climb down. And I think it's a bloody nose for him.
Justice, if the president did face impeachment, what would that process actually involve and how long would it play out? And who would it involve? Who would be the players there?
Well, someone has to put the order, the motion in court, and that would be the EFF or the DA or any of the other political parties. Then it would be the Speaker of Parliament to say, yes, we would need to divide the House, that is, take the vote. It's pretty much what the DA has been doing the past 5 years, putting in a motion but not getting the support from the other bench, from the other parties that it needs. So, you know, remember, Musi Maimane did it last year, and everyone said it's a waste of time because you're going to lose. But in this case, it might not be that obvious that indeed the DA would lose it. Because this time everyone in the opposition benches feels that it shouldn't pass. So that would be the first step. There would be a debate in the House and then they would vote. Unfortunately for the opposition, you need a 2/3 majority. So I don't think they'll make the 2/3 majority. So President Zuma, in my view, will continue to be president, but it will have been a very public humiliation for him to face this after the Constitutional Court had found that he was in breach of oath of office.
Justice, we're going to have a complete report with you probably tomorrow, so we're going to leave the rest of it till then, because you are going to be in the chamber for the State of the Nation address, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to get to Cape Town. I think I will be there.
All right. Then
Can
we do a full catch-up tomorrow? Then we can see what actually happens, because I think there may be more news this evening than almost in any other day in the last couple of weeks.
It's going to be so exciting. There's going to be everything in that speech. There's the outside bit with the matches and all that. That's what happens inside. Julius Malema saying if he doesn't get quickly to the point about Ntsantsanen and how he was fired, then, you know, there's going to be some action. So there'll be action outside, inside. People will be waiting to hear whether President Zuma has finally found a vision for the country. There will be funny moments. Can President Zuma read his speech properly this time around, or is he going to be one of those halting, embarrassing deliveries that he's become used to? Will there be meat to the State of the Nation? I mean, as I said, I've just landed in Bloemfontein, and I'm thinking, if you're a farmer in this province and you're not getting any government help, given the drought that has devastated this this province, is President Zuma going to come up with some measures? What about unemployment? What about social grants? Are we going to see? Is he going to give an indication on whether we're going to have a tax hike? It's a big state of the nation for President Zuma, and I'm not sure that he actually gets it. But this is the speech of his life. This is the speech that will define whether he crossed his Rubicon or he's still stuck in the past.
All right, Justice, thank you very much for that quick update. We'll have a full update tomorrow with Justice Malala and find out what happened at the State of the Nation address. Of course, it's scheduled for this evening at 7 o'clock, and it's all brought to you here in Cliff Central by Nando's, the burning platform, every Thursday. So we got a little bit of an update from Justice. But I know a lot of people are interested in this. We were talking about Tim Noakes and the Banting diet, and apparently he sent a tweet to a mom, just to go back to the story Mubs was busy with when Justice called in. He sent a tweet to a mom saying, get your kid onto a high-fat, low-carb diet.
Yes. And then there was outrage.
Because he says he wasn't doing it as a doctor, with a doctor-patient relationship. It was just general health advice, like you would give to anyone on Twitter. And they're holding him to account, and they're saying, you gave this woman bad advice, right?
Yes, which is why he's now facing the Health Professions Council.
So he broke down.
Now, he said that he cannot call himself an expert on banting, but he aims to become one, right? Because he says that he spent the last 6 months collecting information. He calls himself an A1-rated researcher, meaning that he's regarded as a leading scientist by 10 peer reviews from around the world.
So he's like a banting Jedi.
Yes, he's basically working towards becoming a banting Jedi.
The fat is strong with this one.
All right.
So, yeah. Rough day for Professor Noakes.
Well, there are a lot of people who just believe everything he says, you know. And he clearly is admitting he's not the expert.
Well, there are a lot of people who believe it because, you know, they'll tell you that, yes, they tried banting and, yes, it worked for them.
Sure.
And then you'll find other people who say, yeah, well, as soon as you limit calories from your diet, of course you're going to lose weight.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what you're cutting out. As soon as the calories drop, you will lose weight. It's science. It's how calories work.
I mean, you can try meth for like 2 weeks. Also,
you'll lose weight.
You substitute that for what you used to having deep fried hot dogs. Good chance you'll lose weight.
So, you know, do the banting if it works for you and if you're happy with it, it's fine.
Right. What else is going on in the news?
So Statistics South Africa have been crunching the numbers, and they've released a few numbers now that we're nearing divorce season. Mm-hmm. And it comes as no surprise here, at least I don't think it's a surprise, that more and more South Africans are getting divorced, basically. We're all just sick and tired of each other. We call it quits and we're like, no, on to the next one. And the report also reveals that more women initiate divorce in South Africa than men.
I don't blame them. if I were a woman in this country, I'd also be divorcing up a storm.
Most of the marriages only last between 5 and 9 years on average in this country.
Mm-hmm.
5 years. You know, it's amazing because you look at your parents who've been at it for like 20, 30, 40 plus years.
My parents, they love each other. They've been married 40 years. They get along. I mean, they fight like all couples.
Yeah.
But they get along. They really get along. I don't know how many people can pull that off in the 21st century. I really don't.
Well, in 2015, the average marriage, 5 years, that's all you get.
Oh, that's not even a relationship.
Jeepers.
That's like, I know roommates who've been together in the same house for longer than that, and they don't even like each other. They managed to stay in the same house. It's unbelievable, right? Unbelievable.
Is it five years. Is it because... We're lazier, and we don't want to try as hard, or is it because we're more inclined to think that marriage is, like, it's not necessarily the answer anymore?
Maybe it's a bit of both.
You know, this is all good and well, but you guys, what are you now meant to do when your friends get a divorce? Like, are you meant to take sides?
I'll tell you exactly what you should do, because this is what happens.
Okay.
You do not, under any circumstances, take sides.
But what happens if the woman in the divorce, who's your friend, says, you need to take my side?
No. See, and they start painting the other person as like this devil, and they were horrible, and you...
Ever. Don't take sides, because you know what'll happen. A year or two later, they'll get back together, and then they'll both think you're an idiot. The one whose side you took, because she's now back in love with the husband, and the husband who knows you hate them. Don't take sides. You don't have to be involved. Just go, you know, I'm so sorry that this didn't work out. You're both such special people. And say nothing else.
I'm keeping you both.
Yeah, I don't gossip. If you can, avoid both for a little while they're still in the heat of anger.
Let the dust settle.
Yeah, don't take sides. Because you never know how it's going to turn out. And if you have taken sides, you're like, he was such an asshole. You know what's going to happen? You're going to end up in a social situation with him. It's going to be very awkward for you because he's going to have heard from somebody that you said he was an asshole. Or, worse still, she changes her mind later on and you've said all these things about the man she loves. Uh-oh.
You see, now another thing that I hate about all these loved-up couples is when they get together, they'll put it on Facebook and they'll put pictures and it's all romantic getaways. Then they get divorced. Nobody says anything. The person comes up to you like, oh, so how's your wife? Then it's an awkward moment.
Oh. That's their awkward moment, not your problem.
No, this happened to me not too long ago and I felt very awkward.
Yes, I was there for that.
What happened?
I asked someone, oh, how's your wife doing?
Like a famous person?
Oh, no.
Doesn't matter who the person
it is. It's a famous person.
But I asked him in a room full of people, and I said, oh, how's your wife doing? And he shook his head at me.
Oh, God.
And I was like, oh.
She dead?
And no, I mean, they're now divorced. Oh. But I felt horrible.
Well, so at least she's not dead. See, I would have been happy that I hadn't said that and she's dead. That'd be much worse.
But it's funny how you're the one who feels awkward and embarrassed about the situation.
Hey, Alison, how's Sir Cedric? Oh, he's dead.
That really would have been a better option.
You think?
If they were dead...
No. Dead's worse. I've been in that situation.
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how's Cynthia? Oh, she's dead. Oh, shit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What do you say?
Sorry.
Oh, how did that Don't tell me how, because if you ask how it happened, well, she was mangled to death in a machining accident at a factory.
Oh, my gosh. What the hell was she doing there?
She worked there because she wasn't making enough money prostituting herself in Oxford Street. Oh! That's terrible. Why was she prostituting herself? Because you were an abusive husband. Oh, it's getting worse and worse. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
No, don't ask too many questions. Just hi, I'm Mabali. That's the safest. Don't say anything. Don't talk to people. Now you know why
don't
I stay.
Don't talk to people.
You know why I stay at home most of the time, right? Get yourself into these situations. It's a nightmare.
Oh boy.
A nightmare.
You got to ask questions around the topic so that they give
you
the
not,
answer.
You are not someone I'm going to take advice on this.
I don't care. So if someone tells me somebody died, I'm like, oh, sorry. And then I move on.
Yeah, which is exactly the wrong reaction. You got to show a little bit of empathy.
Plenty of times I've been talking to these big celebrities and I'd say, so what's your parents do? And they'd be like, my dad does this. And I'd be like, so what does your mom do?
No, she's dead.
She's dead. Oh. And then what you do on the weekends for fun.
But you don't want to seem insensitive,
away, yeah.
though.
No, I can't do that.
You just don't want to be like, oh, and then you seem insensitive.
But at the same time, if you've just found out that someone's mom's dead and you thought she was alive for the last 5 years, you didn't really know that person that well. So let's all stop. Just suspend the nonsense for a second, shall we? You didn't care. You know, suddenly pretend you're hugely affected by the fact that his mom died. Oh, I'm sorry, dude. That's terrible, terrible news. He knows you don't care, otherwise he would have asked about his mum before.
Rule of thumb, unless you had anything to do with the death, it's not your business, don't care about it.
And if you had something to do with the death, for God's sake, shut up.
Yeah, don't mention it again. Yeah.
Don't bring it up.
Really turmoil enough.
Ben, have you ever told someone that there was this thing going on in their life and they turned out that they had a death or a divorce that was uncomfortable to talk about?
I don't think so. I don't know. I've been trying to think the whole time you've been starting this conversation. Nah. Been quite lucky with that.
See, now, I've confused someone for someone in a relationship, but this person was going through the worst breakup ever.
Yeah.
So I came there all happy chirpy. I was like, oh, you know, just saw your post on Facebook. How are you guys doing? And it's like, no. The bitch left me. So.
But that's also the problem with putting this stuff on Facebook.
Yeah.
It both helps and doesn't help you. Because then everybody knows you're going through this messy separation. And sometimes it's better if you just go, what happened to Fred? Oh, I left him. Okay. You know, then it's all right.
Just asking for trouble.
And if you ask and ask and ask, I hate people who do that. That you've broken up with someone, right? And they say to you, oh, what happened to her? And you go, well, we broke up. And then they go, but what happened?
Oh.
None of your business. I'm not going to tell you. I don't even know you. Plus, the fact that she had an enormous vagina is none of your business. Hey, let me tell you something important. Do you want to hear something important?
Yes,
okay.
Please.
The Gentlemen by Choice are on today at 12 o'clock, and they are going to be joined by Klaus Peter Jacobsen. Do you know who that is?
I don't know, but I love his name.
It's a good name. He's the CEO of Pandora Jewelry in sub-Saharan Africa. Now, not only can he help you choose the perfect gift for Valentine's Day, but he's also a huge AC/DC and Clint Eastwood fan. He's popping in this morning. He'll talk to the gentleman. And that dilemma that you face when you're trying to choose the perfect Valentine's Day gift is over.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to worry about the dilemma because we'll help you answer it.
Because do you know what the truth is? More than 50% of women have received a Valentine's Day gift they did not like.
Oh, you don't want to be that guy.
45% of women receive flowers for Valentine's Day, and meanwhile, they wanted jewelry.
Right.
And 75% of women pretended to like a gift they've received.
Well, at least they pretended. That's polite, right?
So Pandora is here to help, I think.
There we go. Pandora Jewelry on today with the Gentleman by Choice. You want to find out what the perfect gift is for your woman this Valentine's Day, then listen up and listen closely to Klaus and to the gentleman, Simpiwe Petros. Lesekhomapanga and Weza, that guy. Very good. What is it, Flax? What do you want?
Oh, no, I just wanted to say that yesterday I was trying to get ideas from staff here for Valentine's Day, and there are some people that hate Valentine's Day here.
Oh, really? Are there some angry people?
Michael, don't put into that commercial bullshit and what. And I'm like... Listen, it's a day of love. Just embrace it.
There's no romance around here.
Huh? They were trying to put me down, but I got back up again.
Do you have your girlfriend around at the moment?
Yeah, she's here. She's in Joburg.
Are you doing anything for Valentine's Day?
I'm still planning something, but I got some plans I can only tell you Monday because she listens to the show.
Surprise!
I'm going to be at a wedding in Cape Town on Valentine's Day. Yeah, it's very good. Isn't that pretty?
I know, that's catching shit, because it reminds you how lonely you are.
Oh, no, it doesn't. Please.
You see other people getting married and stuff? I hate weddings.
Do you?
I hate weddings and births. I never want to go to a bris again. Other people's happiness makes me upset. I want to be the one happy.
You can't take pleasure in other people's happiness. It doesn't make you happy to see a couple that are pledging to be with each other forever.
No.
Really?
Not yet in my life. I'm still trying to get that stuff.
You're such a child. Take pleasure in other people's happiness.
So do you get upset when Sierra's always getting numbers out here and you suck in the booth?
Ben, you notice everyone gets upset when you get packages here?
Yeah.
Same. They all like me. They all like me. They just don't want to admit it.
Okay. I think Dr. Phil would have a few words for you, Michael.
I think we need a full-time therapist here. All right, the Unview. Somizi's back this morning with Alan Ford. They're going to look at the lives of the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. You have got to ask Somizi. I want someone to call in during the show this morning and ask him this. All right, are you ready?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Ask him how he takes those Instagram pictures of him jumping into the pool and pulling these pirouettes in the sky.
He
revealed to all of us on Idols how he does it. And it's not someone else taking the picture.
It's not?
No, this is what's amazing about the guy.
The thing is, he's once pulled me out to the car park outside for a full-on Instagram photo shoot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a whole process.
If you follow no one else in South Africa on Instagram, it's worth following Somizi. But ask Somizi how he takes those pictures and how he makes those videos, and you will be blown away. I will say no more. But they're back today. Stutla Mafetle Fetle and Somizi Mhlongo. All right? Then the open book, of course, is at 9 o'clock. I'm going backwards here, but you've got to start somewhere. Loyiso Bala investigates the topic of Christian dating. He's joined by the campus pastor of Eastside Community Church, Mark Paul, as well as the worship and youth leaders at Rhema Bible Church, David and Gina Mutenji. They're going to be talking about Christian dating. There's something we should try for you, Mubs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think they'd be able to handle me there.
Oh, you would.
They would.
You'd corrupt and twist and gnarl and pervert their ideas.
I think I'd be asked to leave, especially if they heard what I had to say about strip clubs the other day. They would definitely ask me to leave.
You were quite into that discussion yesterday on strip clubs, huh?
Yeah.
You got into it. I think there's a market for a strip club for where just men take off their clothes and Mabale is your only patron.
Oh, yeah.
She'd pay. Tell you what, she'd put some serious money up. All right, then it's Black Life with Tumisha Masha and Monwabi Sitete. We've also got Fashion Lab today with Liz Ogumba Regisford and Moik Peterson. They're going to be speaking about fashion in business with Bridget Edwards, who's popping by. Future CEOs, Gareth Armstrong, Hlubin Boya, Ridwana Sheikh. Remember? Does that make any... does that ring any bells?
Dreamtropner?
That's correct.
Ah, yes.
Ridwana Sheikh's popping by. She's also going to talk about how her business is sustainable, how she learned to do design in Italy, because that's where she graduated, and she'll talk about her interesting international journey and why she's so adamant about social capitalism. Then the Q with Mark Bland. Spanish Inquisition time. Philip Andrew Morton joins the show. He's the director of Spanish Lake, which is a documentary on Netflix about white flight and rezoning in St. Louis. You know what happens? White people leave a neighborhood because they think there are too many blacks. This happens all over the world, not just here in South Africa. And they're going to talk about this white flight because there's this guy who's made a documentary about that. It'll be interesting. Kelman on Cliff Central wraps up the day with us at 3 o'clock. Aria Kelman is going to talk about a quarter to the weekend being the time on Thursdays, which means Forum with Wada Hartley and Mary Lou. And then there's the creative duo Prime Obsession in studio for actress and singer Litoya Makiane. We'll join for the big interview. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
All right. But the big highlight for today is going to be The Gentleman by Choice and their ideas for Valentine's Day when Klaus from Pandora Jewelry pops in. Got it?
Excellent. Yeah.
All right. It's time for us to give something away, Mubs.
Okay.
You want to try this?
Yeah.
Okay. Called Cacio Pizzeria. We've got some meal vouchers. I want to find out about some dates that went horribly wrong. We were talking to Flax just a moment ago about what he's planning for Valentine's Day. And there are some romantic people left in the world. And I salute you. I'm not one of those people who's going to tear down romance wherever I see it. I think romance must be celebrated. And on the line we have... I hope you've spelt this right. Nolusindiso. Is that right? Let's see. Flax, if this is wrong, it's going to be very embarrassing for you. I'm warning you. All right, let's go and see. There she is. He is. Nolusindiso. Hello? Is it a he or a she, Flax? Nolusindiso. Hello?
Hello.
Ah, there you are, sweetheart. Well done. Is that the way you pronounce your name, or did I get it wrong?
You got it right.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Whew. I was going to tear Flax a new asshole in his back if he got that wrong. So, Nolusindiso, I assume that you are entering this competition because once or twice in your life, you've had less than... I'm sorry, excuse me?
Sorry?
Less than once or twice in your... More than once or twice in your life, you've had dates that went horribly wrong.
Yes, I did.
Do you want to tell me what happened?
Yes. It was actually a blind date set up by my friend. It was the first and last blind date I ever went on.
Nolusindiso, can you do me a favor and just turn off your vibrator in the background?
Okay, it's off.
Oh. Okay. You were saying?
Yes. It was a blind date by my friend. The guy pitched up at my place, and she didn't get a cab, so we had to walk to the date, and he was taking me out to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we got to the movie, first of all, while we were walking, he started trying to grope me and trying to touch me and stuff. Ugh. So I had to keep, like, pulling away and running away. And then when we got to the movie he chose of all movies was a Madea movie.
Madea?
A Madea movie. Oh, like, oh, I was just like, oh, I can't. I cannot do this.
Tyler Perry stuff.
So after that, I was just like, I'm never, ever, ever going on a blind date ever again. I got myself a cab and went home.
Shame. Oh. That's horrible. And he groped you on the way to the movie.
Yes. Like, he kept just trying to touch me and stuff. And I was just like, I can't. Like, well, and I told my friend about it. I was like, please do not ever, ever, ever set me up with someone ever again.
How horrible. Okay, yeah, you got my sympathy, but hold on a second. Because there might be someone with a sadder, more horrible story than you. Hold on. Let's put her back on hold. We've got Robin on the line. Robin, have you also had a horrible experience?
Oh, dude. Let's just jump right in.
What?
Let's just jump right into my story, man. It's crazy.
All right, go ahead.
All right, cool. So after being rejected for a few times by this chick I used to work with, she basically accepted my offer for a date. I had this romantic evening planned of going out to for a sunset cruise on the pirate boat at the waterfront, then going for a nice three-course meal afterwards.
By the way, I hate that pirate boat. That's the most horrible thing you could do. Why would you take a girl on something like that?
I thought, hey, every time we see the pirate boat, fresh memories and stuff. Nice memories.
It's a bunch of drunk white people vomiting over the side. That's not romantic. Come on.
Well, listen to my story then. Okay, anyway. The southeaster was howling, seas were rough, but I wasn't gonna change my plans because I mean, hey, I've got a shot. As soon as we hit open water, that boat was bobbing up and down, left and right. Water was coming in over the sides. And after 5 minutes, it brought out this nasty champagne. I drank mine. She offered me hers. But, dude, I felt this gurgling in my stomach afterwards. My mouth started running like a waterfall. Dude, I gave her one look, ran to the front of the boat, held my guts out into the wind. That was kind of nasty. Anyway, that was only 5 minutes in. Then, but the captain of the ship, like, just kept on going towards the sunset. I was like, oh, no, man. Anyway, everyone else paid for a 45-minute sunset cruise. That was the longest 45 minutes of my life, man.
Oh, dude, okay. So, I could have warned you. I tried, but...
Yeah,
All right, shut up, Robin. Just hold on. Okay, Mubs, who we got? So we've got Robin and we've got Nolusindiso. Who do we think has got the sadder, more horrible story? Ben, what do you think? Come on, chime in here.
There's nothing creepier than just creepy guys. It's just there's nothing worse. Like, okay. I feel for her. I really do. Can you imagine that? He's pretty heavy breathing as well.
Mubs?
You know, I'm going to have to agree with Ben. Stop with the groping of women's bodies. Please.
It's dreadful.
See, any ideas?
But you guys, what's the first impression when you've now vom.com all over the place? You cannot keep your composure or look
pretty bad, yeah.
But, you know, a better choice would have prevented that. Getting into a car and being groped and stuff, that's just terrible. You know where to go.
Robin caused his own misery by booking the pirate ship. I've seen that thing. I was sitting at the Grand Beach Cafe, and this fucking boat comes up. it's the most horrible thing you've ever seen. Have you seen it, Flex?
No.
Oh. It's like a fake pirate ship, but it's horrible. And they're all just drunk people on board. It's the worst. You just want it to sink. You do. You find yourself praying that it will sink. Then it will be interesting to watch. All right. So I think we've pretty much decided here. Robin, as horrible as your story is, and as decent as a guy I'm sure you are, you made very bad life choices, and therefore you ended up in a situation which you could have avoided. Whereas poor Nolusindiso, it wasn't her fault that this creep tried to grope her on the way to the movie. And it was a shit movie, too. I'm so sorry. Nolusindiso, you really lucked out badly there. And it wasn't your fault. I think you deserve a break. And you've got your vibrator going nonstop.
She's turned up a second, yeah?
All right, we're going to make you the...
There's something wrong with my speaker. I don't know
what. Speaker.
It's okay.
Speaker schmeaker. We know what
girl,
it is.
Dinner and batteries on us.
Own it.
That's another reason we've got to give you the prize. She'll just be busy with that vibrator on Valentine's Day. That's no good. All right. Not listening to you, so hold on for us. We'll send you the prize, all right?
Thank you very much.
All right, honey. Go and have a good meal at Colcacchio Pizzeria. You won't be sorry.
Thank you so much. You had a pretty day, guys.
Very good. And you. There we go. Very nice.
You know, it takes a lot of courage to have a phone conversation while you're using your vibrator. Like, that's next level confidence.
That's why she deserves the prize. That's great. All right. Kickoff for this evening's Sona is at 7 o'clock. But you want to watch the fashion show beforehand, that's at 6. A couple of messages coming through. Gareth, I missed the Unview show last week. The previous show was Lorraine, who laughs like a duck. I want to know, is Somizi still on the show? Yes, Andrew, I answered that question just a second ago. He will be back today. And another Andrew, different Andrew, says, we should be able to claim the thousands we wasted on wedding gifts when the happy couple got divorced. It's part of the divorce settlement.
Yeah.
That would be a great idea. Well, maybe. Maybe that would keep people together for longer. They can hold on to those horrible gifts. Michelle says, I'll tell you, as a divorced woman, my ex and I get on real, real great now, and we haven't lost any of our friends. Some you see less, but nothing ugly. Okay, that's a sensible opinion from Michelle. Tebojo says, don't ever take sides. I told my friend that his ex is a bitch, and he told her after they got back together. See, Tebojo, you don't want that. And Roman says he hates weddings because ugly white people dance to Mendoza.
Still in 2016.
Yeah.
Ben sent us a horrific picture, and I see someone else's, Henny sent it to us this morning, of Donald Trump. Someone's painted a portrait of Donald Trump with his tackle out.
Oh, no!
Yeah, it's a painting of Donald Trump naked. It is very disturbing.
But he's got like a thimble for a cock.
It's the tiniest, most nasty little cock you've ever seen in your life.
But getting back to Sona, I've got a question. Will the Afternoon Express team of Jeannie D and Bonang and all them, are they going to be on the red carpet?
Can you imagine?
This leopard skin suit is tailor-made.
Well, technically they could, because they were all in Cape Town.
Ugh.
That would be great.
That would be a waste of everyone's time.
You know, it would be great. People impersonating the top bidding team. The politicians probably wouldn't know any different. And then they talk about the outfits and they ask really dumb questions.
Who are you wearing?
That you're wearing them.
You don't have to prepare for those questions. Please, do you think that they have a list of questions, Ben? You're being way too optimistic about their professionalism here. All you do if you go to the State of the Nation fashion show is you just say, who are you wearing? And you look fabulous. Try it, see ya? Do it. Do top billing for me. Wait, I'll get you theme music and everything else.
Oh, okay.
And you do a whole top billing. This is how it works.
All right.
Just so that everybody knows. And nobody needs to be confused. Top billing is a very simple show. You just, everything's nice, everything's happy, everybody's rich. Go.
Tonight, we're broadcasting live from Parliament. See your favorites. It's decked out in animal print. Don't miss it. Live.
Yeah.
Top billing.
Awesome. I ran out of music, but awesome. Yeah, you get the basic idea. Sure.
They should get the people
who... They still have top billing, right?
They still do.
And they've got that morning express, and now they've got the afternoon express.
It's a trifecta.
But they all like top billing. So isn't that diluting top billing?
No. Gareth, when you got a good thing, you got to spread it.
It means you run out of ideas, if you ask me.
What they must do is all the people who failed in the auditions must go do things like this, these outside broadcasts. So now we have, I don't know, whoever did really badly from Velcom at Sona.
Oh, yes, that girl from Velcom, she would be great.
Can you imagine? Mr. President, who are you wearing?
Good evening, Candice.
I'm Petra Stein.
Yes.
I'm from Velcom. I'm working in an industry on automotive parts for the vehicles. That is, just to give you a background, that is like your alternators, starters and Bendix drive and fan belts, wiper blades and etc. Good evening, Candice. Welcome on Top Billing. Good evening. Thank you, Candice, for joining us on Top Billing. At the age of 23, you became an international fashion model. How did it happen? Can I start over? How do you stay focused on positive things in your life? And what kind of exercise do you do to keep such a perfect body? Your exercise routine, what it contains also all about your exercises, what you're doing. When you're not on set and on your free time, what do you do to relax? And also, what is your future plans from here on now?
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for tonight.
Okay.
Now, can you imagine?
I love
her?
That. Can I just say
that? That's amazing.
Yeah. She's fantastic.
She's brilliant.
Good evening,
now,
Candice.
Imagine her on the red carpet going, and how much money have you stolen? And like, what do you do to get in such good shape?
And how come your ankles spill over onto the top of your shoes? Because you're fat.
And can you imagine how much fun it would be if she had to pronounce MP's name on the red carpet?
Yeah, coming are the defense minister, Nosiviwe Mapusang Kikukula.
And she would ask really random questions like, do you have money to pay back too?
I want to send Flax to the State of the Nation. I think it would be amazing.
You guys, can't we track her down? What's her name?
Pietru.
Pietru Stein.
Petra Stein, let's listen again.
I'm Petra Stein.
There we go.
Yeah,
find her on Facebook.
She's so great.
From Velcom.
Give her a job. Yeah, really. She could be like a correspondent in Velcom.
I would watch a show where she interviews people, flat out. I think it would be brilliant.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a nice message here from Tembeni on Twitter. Tembeni says, listening to CliffCentral.com now, and there's a competition going on. you should have asked that woman with the vibrator to queef into the phone to show how happy she was to have won.
Oh, dear.
Tembeni, I love you. That's hysterical.
Oh, good for you.
Okay, lots of other really good stuff coming up. We got Simpiwe Dana, who's going to join us in a short while. I'm looking forward to speaking to her. Mubs, what else do we need to know from the news? I interrupted you with Justice Malala. I interrupted you with competitions. You must be furious.
No, not really. I mean, we've been laughing a lot this morning, which is great.
All right.
Now, a Roman Catholic group have appealed to Pope Francis. They're basically asking the Pope to allow church members to follow their conscience and use contraception or to let women have abortions to protect themselves against the Zika virus.
And I hope he said yes.
Well, I don't know what his response has been, but the name of the group is called Catholics for Choice. They are a liberal advocacy group who are based in Washington, and they have sent this statement to the Pope. The appeal comes as the World Health Organization advised women in areas with the Zika virus to protect themselves, especially during pregnancy, because it results in horrible birth defects on the child.
The child comes out looking like a Johannesburger bottle of wine. Got a small head, and the rest of the body is very big. Kind of looks like a... like a pear, really. Like a pear, the shape of a pear.
There is nothing nice about what you just said.
That's how the kids come out. That's why you don't want this Zika virus, trust me.
Microcephaly is what it's called.
Yeah, they get a small head and a very big body.
Do you remember that back in 2010, former Pope Benedict said in a book that the use of condoms to stop the spread of AIDS may be justified in certain exceptional cases?
I do not believe that anymore. I believe that the people must not use condoms ever to stop the procreation of more Catholics. Oh. It's very bad.
This is such a dangerous thought.
Don't you know that the most important thing here is that every sperm is sacred? Huh? Didn't you know that?
No, I did not know that. And this is such a dangerous thought.
Mubs, every sperm is sacred. I can't believe you don't know this. Everybody who's knows anything about Catholics knows this.
Well, let me put it like this.
There we go.
There are Jews in the world. There are Buddhists. There are Hindus and Mormons and them. There are those that follow Mohammed's, but I've never been one of them. I'm a Roman Catholic and have been since before I was born. And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer. You don't have to have a great brain. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great.
Yep.
If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great.
That's true.
If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
You know, Mubs.
In New Taoist Mormon, still there's just anywhere. But God loves those who treat their seamen with more care.
Every sperm is sacred.
They've even written songs about it, but that's how important it is. So the Pope says the previous pope said maybe sometimes you can use contraception. Maybe.
Yes, maybe sometimes you're allowed to use condoms.
How kind of him.
Whew.
You see, this is also just a bit messed up. So it's more important that you don't stop the procreation of another human being, because that would be immoral, according to the popes. But it's okay if you get some sexually transmitted disease, which could be a death sentence for many people.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense at all, does it?
It makes no sense whatsoever.
No, but this is what the Pope's sticking to. It's his thing. That's what he says.
Well, it was former Pope Benedict that said that.
Well, that's it. And this one, he's still he's not saying he's totally for it. This Pope I like, but he's not saying anything.
I don't know what his response has been to this request for women to be allowed.
Exactly.
Because, you know,
allowed.
Women still need permission to do things.
From a pope in Rome. It's insane. Someone should just say to him, you know what, Pope, we don't need your permission. We've got it. I'm using a condom. Ha ha. Stop me if you can. So someone should say, just do what you want. In any case, how's the Pope going to find out that you used a condom?
Exactly.
Unless he's in the bedroom with you, which would be a whole bunch of sins on his part.
And very creepy.
Very creepy.
Very creepy.
He's never going to know. So here's my word to Catholics. You want to be a good Catholic. I understand. No one can see. And if anyone is watching you while you bang your wife, they are creepy, including God. If God's watching you having sex, he's just, for him, that's porn. Which should concern you, because why should he be watching porn? And in that case, don't worry about what you're doing. Worry about each other's health. Worry about the fact that we don't need more children, unwanted children in this world. Put on a condom. Aren't you lucky I'm not the Pope?
Oh, well.
I'd love to be the Pope. There's so much gold in that place.
I don't think that hat he wears would fit on your head.
I don't
care. Ben's head. They'd have to. Can you imagine the size of the Pope's hats?
It's the
if
Vatican.
Ben was the Pope, my God, that's the shadow it would cast across St. Peter's Square. People would be in perpetual darkness. Ben's head with a hat would block the sun.
It's the Vatican. With that much money, I'd get them to hollow out a champion racehorse just to make something new, whatever size I wanted.
Ben would wear a whole horse on his head, and it still wouldn't cover everything.
Oh, man.
All right, well, let's wrap it up. Anything else that you want to get to?
Yes, finally, I don't know what on earth is happening in India, but if animals are for sure going to start turning on humans, India is the place where it's going to begin.
Why?
Because remember earlier this week there was the leopard. There was the leopard that mauled people.
Got into a village.
Yesterday there was a goat that was arrested in India because it kept eating some bureaucrat's plants in his garden. And the caretaker of the garden caught the goat, took it to the police and said, something needs to be done here. And then the police arrested the goat. Today, an elephant...
Wait, I'm still stuck on the... Before you move on to the elephant, so the goat was arrested. What happened to him?
The goat and its owner are being charged with damage to property and some other charge. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah?
But yes, the goat kept... I guess trespassing. Yes, trespassing is another charge.
Right.
The goat kept trespassing in this bureaucrat's garden. Kept eating away at things in the garden. The caretaker of the garden caught the goat because he was fed up with the goat. Took it to the police and said something needs to be done. So they arrested the goat.
In a bureaucrat's garden. I mean, this goat chose badly.
All right.
And now
a wild elephant has rampaged through a town in India, smashing homes and sending frightened residents running. It's beginning, people.
Good for them.
The animals are going, they are taking over now.
This is the real life Jungle Book. And the Jungle Book set in India. This is great. When is that movie coming out, by the way?
That's the thing. This movie's also coming out right now.
This is the best. This is the best publicity I've ever seen ahead of a movie. If this is the work of the studio, well done, guys. You're amazing.
Sure. This elephant trampled parked cars and motorbikes as crowds of people gathered to watch from balconies and rooftops. Some followed from a distance.
It went wild.
It just changed its mind. And it was like, no, I'm not having this. It's just that started tearing stuff down. The elephant had apparently wandered from a nearby forest, crossing roads and a small river before entering the town. After several hours chasing the animal, authorities shot it with a tranquilizer gun, and they used a crane to remove it from the town.
Aww, that's no fun.
So, again, you can YouTube elephant rampages through village in India.
Aww.
India is where it's at, people.
Oh, and India is where it's at, animals.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at photos of this now. This town is so heavily populated. This elephant ran through bicycles, people. There must have been like 10,000 people that were running away from this elephant.
Yeah, it's going to go free the goat from prison.
I love this. When animals turn on humans, yeah. It's my favorite. I was talking to someone yesterday about chimpanzees. Because, you know, we had that guy from Chimp Eden in here a while ago, and he said he would rather face any other animal, including a crocodile or a lion, than a chimpanzee, because they're so violent and aggressive. Mm. Someone said to me that they were filming a thing the other day, and a cameraman got mauled by a lion. Yeah.
And now there's footage that's kind of appeared of a guy in an aquarium being mauled by a shark.
Yeah, it's time. The time of the humans is over, as that orc said in Lord of the Rings.
And he was right. It was fine.
Yeah,
him.
You know that orc, he said, the time of man is over. The time of the orc is now. And I thought, yeah, well, replace the word orc with animals, and let's let the animals take over. I think they would be better at running Earth than us. Really, we're not that special. It seems to me that everything we touch, we turn to screwed up. Unreal. Justin says you guys should have a Sona alternative commentary. State of the Nation address tonight. Very exciting. Everybody's very, very excited about that. Flax, a question for you. Would you rather watch Kumbulekaya or kiss Justin Bieber?
What is the first one?
Kumbulekaya is a show where they reunite people who've been separated, people who've lost each other, family members.
Oh, I've heard of
that. Yeah, it's on SABC One.
I think I'd rather watch that. Sounds interesting.
Than kiss Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you'd do. I mean, you'd have to be pretty close to him to kiss him. You'd know a lot about him.
I heard. Oh my God, I'm jealous about this.
What happened?
I heard this morning Ariel's going to go watch him perform live at the O2 Arena when he goes to London. I am so jealous.
Oh, that's going to upset you. Oh. Sorry about that, Flex. You could always watch it on TV.
No, but I want to see it live. I want to breathe the same air he's breathing.
All right, listen, we're wasting her time. Simpiwe Dana's here, and we want to talk to her. She is a singer and a songwriter of world renown. She's really just done incredibly well. Two commercially successful and critically acclaimed albums. And she's also here today to talk about all kinds of other things. We're going to talk about her a cappella work, the fact that people call her the new Miriam Makeba. There's lots of good stuff to talk to Simpiwe about. And as I said, I've been looking at a picture of her for the last 3 or 4 months. It's been the cover of the Rolling Stone magazine with her on the cover. Has been lying in my TV room for ages, and I see it every time I walk into the room. So I feel like Simpiwe has been part of my life for the last couple of months anyway, which is creepy as hell for her. But for me, it's good. All right, that's coming up next. Everybody get ready for a lovely day on cliffcentral.com. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear what the perfect Valentine's gift might be, you only need to listen to one show today. That show is The Gentleman by Choice with Simpiwe and Weza and Lisejo. And you will hear what the perfect gift is. Pandora Jewelry are popping by, and they will help you figure out what you need to get your woman this Valentine's Day. CliffCentral.com.